Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark. It's great to be here with you this morning to be able to share God's word. It'd be really helpful if you kept your Bibles open at Ephesians. That's what we'll be looking at. Although we did have a long reading from Isaiah, I'm not going to be touching on that in my sermon. But it's really there to highlight that the theme of light and darkness, which we are going to be looking at today, is actually throughout the entire Bible. So that's helpful to have read that. Before I start, let me just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word here in Ephesians. Please open our hearts and our minds as we think about it now. Please help me to speak faithfully and clearly of your word. Amen. If you've got your bulletin, I've got an outline in that, and you may find that helpful to follow along. I remember when I was first promoted to being a manager at work. I was really excited. I finally got my own business card with my name and my title rather than the generic company business card. I got to change my email footer from planner to planning manager. And I straight away updated my resume. But with that change of job title also came a change of job description. I no longer could just focus on my own work. As a manager, I had to ensure my entire team's work was okay. And instead of coming in to work at my normal time on Tuesday, I had to come into work earlier to participate in a manager's meeting. My boss had given me the title as manager, but now I needed to act like a manager. Getting the title of manager wasn't the end of the career journey for me, it was the beginning. And it's a little bit like that in the verse, in the key verse, I think, in today's passage. You see it in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Paul tells the Ephesians that they should live as children of light. And it's interesting to note that he doesn't preface that by saying, to become children of light, live as children of light. No, he says, you are light, so live as light. And I think that's both challenging and comforting. It's comforting because we know that we have already been changed. We've been moved from darkness to light. He's not saying you are light and darkness, so try to be light. He's saying you are light. And the reason Paul can say this is because of what Jesus has done for the Ephesians and us. Just like my boss promoted me to be manager before I started acting like one, we are now called light because Jesus has made us that way. But also like me getting the title planning manager resulted in me starting a new career journey, becoming a Christian, becoming light, is the start of a journey for us. We now need to live as children of light. And that's what we're going to look at for the rest of the talk today. We're going to look at what does living as children of light look like, why we should live as children of light, and finally, how do we live as children of light? So firstly, what does living as children of light look like? Like last week's passage, this one contains a number of checklists that point to what children of light look like or don't look like. In verse 3 it says that it must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 5 repeats the list and adds that they are idolaters. And then in verse 4 it says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place. Now, honestly, we could delve into each of these behaviours and spend a whole sermon teasing out what each one looks like and what those specific actions mean. Sexual immorality and greed are some of the big issues that we tend to focus on our talks here in church. So this morning, rather than going over them again in detail, I plan not to focus so much on these points of what living a life as children of light looks like. Instead, I want to focus more on why and how we should live this way. And I'm only going to briefly mention a little summary of what these three things mean. So, sexual immorality. If you take the overall picture and definition from the Bible, it's pretty clear. Sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage between a husband and wife. So it's sex outside of marriage other than between a husband and wife. This means there are a lot of things that are sexually immoral from the Bible's point of view. But I think when we look at these things, we often look at what others do to point to as examples of what sexual immorality is. Instead, I think we're called to look at our own lives, not others, for the examples of what not to do. Remember, we shouldn't be showing any hint of sexual immorality. This is what Jesus is referring to in Matthew when he says that whoever looks at a woman or man lustfully commits adultery. So we should be making sure we are self-examining rather than first pointing to others' faults as we look at sexual immorality. Another action Paul mentions is greed. Greed is a sin that, while mentioned frequently throughout the Old and New Testament, I think we actually talk a little bit less about here in church. Partly I think that's because greed is a sin of the heart, where the same action for one person may be sinful and for the other not. The key here to explain greed is in the line afterwards. It says greed is idolatry. Greed is relying on wealth and possessions and not God. Having gone through what I think would be perceived as the big issues, it almost seems the last area that Paul addresses is a minor in comparison. If you could list only three actions that you wanted to challenge Christians with, what would you choose? Sexual immorality, yep, greed, then maybe lying, or bigger, murder, stealing. Well, Paul here doesn't choose any of those. Instead, for his third thing, he chooses to include the way we speak as what it means to live as God's holy people. Telling dirty jokes or commenting in a sexual way about people makes light of sexual immorality. And by speaking about these things, about making light of sexual immorality with coarse jokes and obscenity, it can make it easier to succumb as we start normalizing the actions first through words. We speak about it and it can make it easier to do it. I think Paul mentions these three things, greed, sexual immorality, and the way we speak, because he knows many people struggle with these things. But in reality, he's not just limiting his advice to those three things. If you look at the passage more closely, Paul also indicates we should be aiming high with all areas of life. He said we should avoid impurity in general. And in verse 11, he says we should have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Now, Paul doesn't just deal with the negative and doesn't just use negative language to describe what makes a child of light. He also looks at three positive things. We see them in verse 9. Goodness, righteousness, truth. I think it's another interesting and challenging list of actions. To do all three is really hard. It's not just doing good, it's telling the truth as you do good. And it's not even doing good truthfully, as that's enough. The true measure of being a child of light is also righteousness. This is the idea of behaving the right way before God. Goodness in this context is being seen as being generous to others. It's regarded as the opposite of greed. Righteousness is seen as upright behavior and the opposite of sexual immorality. And truthfulness contrasts with using inappropriate language. Given these negative and positive lists of behaviours, it can seem quite hard to live up to these, perhaps even impossible. It is very countercultural, these things. Greed and language aren't often seen as bad by society as how we as Christians see them. And what Christians call sexual immorality is actually often seen as in a positive light by society. And we can be seen as even being bigots or being mocked and criticised for our view. So why should we push ourselves to live like this? Why should we push ourselves to live as children of light? Well, Paul helpfully, I think, addresses that in the passage we looked at today. I think you can see three different reasons why we should live as children of light. And the first is somewhat simple, because that's who we are. Remember the first verse I highlighted. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And also in verse 3 and 4, Paul tells us to not live as children of light is improper for God's holy people, and that those actions are out of place for us. He's saying it's part of our nature to live as children of light. It's sort of like when I got promoted to being a manager. As part of being a manager, my actions were now expected to be different. It would be improper for me to say to a staff member who came up to me looking for help, "Oh no, that's your problem, not mine." As part of being a manager, it was proper for me to manage and help my staff. And for a Christian, it is proper for us to live good, truthful, and righteous lives. And it's out of place for us to be sexually immoral, greedy, or use inappropriate language. Another way I think Paul encourages us to live as Christians, as children of light, is by telling us the consequences of not being children of light. In verse 5 and 6, he says that people who live like people of darkness have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, and that God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Very few people, I think, sometimes including Christians, take judgment seriously. For most people, they think if there is an afterlife, they will go to the heaven version of it. Because in reality, I'm generally a good person. It seems like judgment has no place in today's society. And if it does, it's clearly reserved for murderers or evil dictators. But looking at the Bible, that is clearly not true. Now, we don't need to return to a brimstone-type preaching, highlighting all the horrible burning sulfur in hell. But we do need to make sure we do include judgment as part of the Christian message, no matter how unpopular it is. The way that Paul speaks about judgment shows us how to do this well. You see, Paul here takes judgment very seriously, but it's always in balance and without being overly descriptive. He doesn't use scare tactics, but the threat of judgment is still clearly there. The nice message that most of us want to believe that says, "Oh, everyone will go to heaven," is an attractive idea, but it's a lie. Because if there is no judgment, no one needs to be saved. And if God does not respond with wrath to sin in the world, really he's not much of a God. Because he who does not get angry does not really care. And God cares, and judgment is real. Finally, Paul also encourages the Ephesians to live as children of light by saying what being light can do to other people. It's worth noting that although Paul has said have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, he also says that we should expose the darkness. At first it can seem a bit contradictory. You see, Paul doesn't want us to avoid non-Christians. Rather, he wants us to be light and do our job of exposing darkness while avoiding being caught up in what the darkness does. In verses 11 to 13, Paul says that the light will expose the darkness. Now, at first glance, that might sound like we should go around pointing out other people's problems. While Christians do have the responsibility to expose the darkness, it's interesting that Paul doesn't preface expose them by saying point out their sin. No, he prefaces it, he introduces the idea of exposing by saying live as children of light. He's saying the way to expose them is by living as children of light. By both the way we live and the conversations we have, we can be a light shining in the darkness. Exposing here is the visible contrast of how we should live compared to others. So how can we show this distinction without displaying a holier-than-thou attitude? How can we avoid participating in sin without being judgmental? How can we avoid being destructive when we confront? I think the answers are in the question. Being holier than thou and judgmental are definitely things we Christians do sometimes, but they are neither necessary nor really even acceptable. The solution has actually been shown earlier in Ephesians, back at the beginning of the second half that we looked at a few weeks ago, where Paul calls us to be humble, gentle, patient, loving. If we exercise these qualities, negative results can be reduced. We can refuse to be involved in wrong practices and still care deeply for the people doing them. We can speak the truth in love when confronting and rejecting disobedience to God. And the reward for being a child of light and exposing darkness is that those people too can become light. Verse 13 says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." Verse 14 explains how Christ, that is Jesus, shines on people to wake them from death, to save them from darkness. Just like we are children of light in the Lord, so too once Christ shines on others, they too can be light. They too can be saved. I've seen examples of this at Ministry of Game that we spoke about a few weeks ago. Ministry of Game, we play games. We say that we want people to be safe and be in a friendly environment when they play games. You may think, well, of course. But a lot of people that come to our group say that that's not what always you find at gaming groups. A lot of them say they're confrontational, discriminatory. Well, at Ministry of Game, we say that part of our ethic is to be welcoming and accepting. And this has caused some of the non-Christians to associate the reason for the difference with our group is because of our faith. Now, I'm not saying that they've all rushed to become Christians, but it's good to see that path being starting to play out. But it is still hard. It's hard to always know the right actions to model or how to balance welcoming and acceptance with identifying unacceptable behaviour. And that brings me to my final point. How do we live as children of light? How do we know what is right if we don't get the full list of do's and don'ts? How do we know how to expose the darkness? How does a Bible that is more than 2,000 years old help us today? Well, I think Paul realizes that he can't give a complete set of commands for everyone, everywhere, at all time. That's why he addressed some of the things like that are timeless troubles that we have, like sexual immorality, greed, and language. But it's also why he says that we need to be wise and not unwise, and that we need to seek to understand the Lord's will. He realizes that we're going to have to be wise in our own time. So how do you do it? How do you understand God's will? It's by reading God's word, by reading the Bible, by allocating time to think through it. How much time are you spending studying God's word? Are you only spending time here on church on a Sunday when you come to hear a sermon? Or maybe you come to a Bible study once a week, and that plus church is your Bible. But I would encourage you to allocate more time than that. And there are lots of ways to do it. You can get good audio books so that you can listen while you drive or walk to work. If you want to read the whole Bible in a year, it only takes about 15 minutes a day. Or if you want more guidance with your Bible readings, you don't want to just read the Bible by yourself, you can get free daily devotionals from websites like Our Daily Bread, who will email you or even send you a print devotional that can only take about 10 minutes. Whoever's got the slide, yep. It's free. And they even have it to be read or listened to in many languages like Mandarin, Cantonese, Tamil, many more. So if you need to see it in a different language, you can do that too. The website is odb.org if you're interested. And I'd encourage all of us to spend just 10 to 15 minutes a day to further understand God's will, so that we know how to live as children of light and can help bring others out of darkness into light as well. The other guidance that Paul gives to live as children of light is also quite simple. It's to give thanks. We see it in verse 4 and in verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. How would giving thanks help us to live as children of light? Because when you are thankful, it is harder to be greedy. When you are thankful, it is easier not to be sexually immoral. You see, what greed and sexual immorality have in common is that they both show a desire for more than we currently have. Whether it's material goods or pleasure from inappropriate sex, But if we are thankful, it means there's a level of contentment. Recognition that what God has given us is good. And acknowledging that through thanks means it's harder to fall into those negative actions. How often do you show thanks to God? Growing up, my family prayed with every meal, and part of that prayer was thanks. It may not seem obvious at first what giving thanks for food has to do with sexual immorality, but I think because food is a regular thing in our lives, it's a great way for us to get in the habit of being thankful. Being thankful for little things helps us to get into the habit to be thankful to God for everything. So a challenge for you this week, before or after each meal, is to give thanks to God for the food you've eaten and just one other thing. Each meal you eat during this week, pray a prayer to God saying thank you for the food and thank you for one other thing in your life. Finally, in answer to the question how to be children of light, I come back again to the verse that I started with. For you are once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. As we read these verses, we need to remember that perfect fulfillment of the lists here from Paul are not a prerequisite to becoming a Christian. If we are Christians, we are light because Jesus has saved us. We have the freedom to challenge ourselves. To some extent, it would have been easier for Paul to say, avoid darkness altogether. Clump up like little lights and hide away from all that darkness. Shut yourself off from the world. It would make it far easier. But that is scary. It is scary to actually go out into that darkness, to be lights in the world. Doing that can lead to mistakes, as we often pick up the habits of those around us. But we can have confidence in doing that because we know we are saved. And if we do make a mistake, we can ask God for forgiveness. So as we go into our week, remember the two challenges that I've given you from the talk. Learn God's will more than just at church on a Sunday or at Bible study. Spend just 15 minutes a day, pick up a devotional or read the Bible, and become wise and know God's will. Then you'll be able to better know how to act as children of light, and it will help us to expose the darkness and bring other people to join us in the light. And second, remember to be thankful to God for everything. Try and give thanks at each meal you have this week for your food and at least one other thing. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Amen.